brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
What's up, guys? You found your way to part two. That is awesome. My name is James Gutman. You are listening to JG's Radio Free Insanity for Friday, May the 12th, 2006. This is the second part of our two-part show. And just a few minutes, we're going to be joined on the phone line by Buff Bagwell. Now, for those of you guys who started watching wrestling after the end of WCW Nitro, Buff Bagwell, really one of the more controversial figures in this industry. One of those people that, I don't know, a lot of people tend to have an opinion on him. So he's going to be addressing that. The internet talks a lot about him, a lot of rumors, a lot of he said, she said, they said, we said kind of thing going on with him. So always been interested in what his stance is on it. We're going to ask him some questions about some things that went on in his career. Really, I'm not going to hold anything back, neither is he. So give it a listen. I think you guys will definitely like it. That's going to be coming in a few minutes. But first, as we talked about in part one, World Wrestling Insanity, the book, is due on bookshelves within the next 2 weeks. I just got my first copy on Friday. I got to tell you guys, I'm thrilled with the way it came out. Visually, the whole package just came out great. So I am very happy with that. It came out exactly as I wanted it to, and I think you guys are going to be very thrilled with the final product. Give it a look. You're going to be entertained by it. And in the end, I think you're going to learn a few things, too. A couple of things you might not have known going into it. So, yeah, really, a project I'm very, very proud of. So much to it. And to see it finally come together, you know, the final product, and you look at it, and, you know, the book is sitting there, and I get to see, you know, what it looks like in the end. And I was very happy with it. So I know you guys will be happy with it, too. So do yourself a favor. Go out and pick it up. It's available everywhere that books are sold. BarnesandNoble.com, High Spots, Amazon, you name it, they got it. Order it. You'll be one of the first on your block to get it, you know? So that'd be pretty cool. And if you want to be nice, you could buy one for everybody on your block. In fact, I recommend that you buy one for everyone on your block. But that's purely up to you guys. You know, I mean, it's my book, and it's the stuff, and oh, wait, I'm stealing a catchphrase, because it is time to welcome him to the show. He's Buff, he's the stuff, and this week he's on Radio Free Insanity. So without further ado, let's get him on the phone line. All right, everybody, so join me in welcoming to the show Marcus Alexander Buff Bagwell. Buff, what's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, good, man. It's good to have you on the show. How's life treating you?
It's doing good, man. I'm staying really busy, and, you know, which is a good thing, and it's hard to, you know, this business, it's hard to stay busy nowadays, and, you know, one thing about the independents, you know, well, gosh, you know, I ain't gonna say independence, but I think in life in general, you know, you gotta be, you know, dependable and all that. When people call me, they know that I'm gonna show up and still be in shape and you know, and give them a good match and all that stuff. So, you know, it's just, I'm staying busy and I'm just glad to be busy.
No, man, well, it's always good to hear. You were just in TNA, you did a spot for them. How did that come about, and how did you get called in for that?
Jeff, we've talked several times, and I think, you know, the deal is they're going to a 9 o'clock time spot and coming up, and I think for 2 hours, so they're going to need some more faces, you know, and there's only, and you know, not that I'm, you know, not that I've done something different, but at the same time, being 36 and staying in shape and, you know, being lucky enough to be on TV at the height of wrestling, there's only a handful of guys out there, and really, really half a handful that really can make a dent. And I'm lucky enough to be in that boat of being in the position of on TV at the right place, the right time, and so on and so forth. So he called up and gave me a chance to be on TV, and I got a great response from it. And but there's been nothing guaranteed or nothing promised since. Hopefully we can be part of that again. I'd love to be something where it's part of a team again, you know. I mean, I stay busy, but I stay busy for 1,000 different companies, literally. I want to be part of a company again, like WCW, you know, and that'd be fun. So I hope it works out.
I mean, well, you're one of the lucky ones that you had TV time right off the bat. I mean, you were in the GWF early on in your career on ESPN.
Actually, even before that, I was on a local station in Atlanta, which was a big station in Atlanta back then, and it was Channel 69 in Atlanta. first match ever was on TV.
Oh, yeah?
And so I work for a company called North Georgia Wrestling. Joe Pedicino ran it.
Oh,
he's the one that also ran Global.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the transition that happened, was from North Georgia Wrestling to Global to WCW and so on and so forth. So, but yeah, I was on TV as, my name was the Fabulous Fabian.
Good.
So a lot of people don't know that, but that was my actual first character.
Oh, wow. And then from there, you kind of transitioned over to the Handsome Stranger character.
Handsome Stranger from there. That was Bill Eadie's, that was his idea.
Uh-huh.
And, Bill Eadie, is one of the, demolition guys from the old school WWF. And just kind of went from there,
Yeah. Well, I mean,
a lot of guys came from the GWF,
Oh, well, a lot of guys when you first debuted, I remember that the Ebony Experience came over. You had Bradshaw was in GWF for a while, but you were one of the early members there, handing out the roses and wearing the one.
Yeah, I was out of the gate. I was the first one, one of the first ones out of there. And Scott, Scotty the Body, Scott Anthony, Raven, he was out of there. The Patriot was out of there. A lot of guys were there, man, that really had even X-Pac, he came out of there, so a lot of guys got a career jump from that spot.
See, it's actually funny with that promotion. It was probably one of the more watched ones back then. It was on ESPN across the country. I watched it every day.
Literally back then, just like right now, keep it in mind, I had no idea about going to WCW or the WWF at the time. Now WWE, but at the time WWF, that was way out of thinking process. But, to back then, that was going to be, one of the next things, kind of like a TNA, kind of like ECW. It was going to be the next big company. I mean, this lady had a lot of money, and she went down to the Sportatorium in Dallas there and redid the whole thing. And, you had names from Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert all the way down to the Handsome Stranger. I mean, there was names that were there, and it was an excellent time spot, and I was shocked they didn't do it, I was shocked they didn't stick around a little bit longer. I really was.
Yeah, I think what's most amazing about it is that it's almost kind of faded into history a little bit. Like, you don't really see too many tapes going around of the GWF or things like that.
You don't, and I'm getting ready to, on my website, I'm getting ready to sell, I have a volume 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of thing of my career, and I've got stuff, man, that nobody's ever seen, like me and Sting and Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair playing cards on a bus, and that sounds corny maybe to some people, but to a lot of people that's cool, and it's cool to me, and if it's cool to me, it's cool to fans, so just giving people an option to for something to buy. I've got an archive here. That's one thing I did. Man, I kept every single thing I did on television, and I took care of it, down to switching everything over to DVD.
Nice.
So in the next couple of months, you're going to see a big turnout on my website and see a whole new change as far as at least some variety for the fans to, to check out.
Oh, that's cool, man. Well, when you went over to WCW initially, probably the same time period as playing the cards and all that. There was a lot of that environment there. You guys were still doing the Bruise Cruise and having the fans on there and things like that. Was it more of a laid back kind of fun time back then to be a part of WCW?
Yeah, and I miss that. And that's what I was talking about being on a team. We were a team. And it was just nobody was bigger or better than nobody else. I mean, Hogan had his own dressing room, but still, he ate with us and came out, and we talked, and we went in there and talked to him, and it wasn't like he couldn't walk in his room. Mm-hmm. And it was just a family, and WCW's kind of always been like that. So, from the Bruise Cruise to things we all did, we just all got along like a big family, because the core of the company, was there when 500 people got in free, and the core of the company was also there when, 65,000 people paid to get into George Dome. So, we saw a big roller coaster ride there,
Yeah. Well, one of the things about you is that you were consistently used on TV from the beginning when you were Marcus Alexander with the sideburns to, you know, the end when you were Buff Bagwell. WCW always seemed to find a place to have you on the show.
They did, and I was always worried about that because, you know, but I think my age, you know, helped out a lot, and, you know, my looks too, because I got a huge push a lot of times. I mean, I got a few pushes, but it's not like they push me through the roof. But at the same time, with age and having a little bit of looks, and you can work a little bit, you know, all of a sudden, you know, for example, Dirty Dick Slater comes in, and you know, I knew when I saw the board that I was going to be doing a job for him, you know. And, you know, this is back in the early 90s, but I knew whoever came in fresh, I was the sacrificial lamb, you know.
Yeah.
But they always kept me, you know, on TV consecutively. I was always on there consecutively.
You were big on the tag teams. They hooked you up with the Patriot and then Too Cold Scorpio.
Actually, Too Cold first, you know, and that's really when my career finally set off was, you know, because I do, that's the only thing I will brag about myself on. That's it. The rest of it, I don't believe the internet. I'm really a very humble guy, but I will brag on myself on the fact that I think I'm an excellent tag team wrestler. And that's because I saw, a chance to really, you know, show out when that happened, and we turned it out. Me and Tuco had an incredible career. Me and the Patriot had a phenomenal tag team. The American Males, even. I still even get asked about that, you know. And, you know, then you got me and, Big Scott Norton, and you got me and Big Papa Pump. So all great people, and every one of them I adapted to, and I think that's what made me a good tag team wrestler was I was able to adapt to every one of those personalities, and back to the bragging part, that's not easy to do, bro.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. But this reminds me a lot of Scott Steiner and how his career he went from being kind of that all-American, babyface type of wrestler, and towards the end he was doing the Big Papa Pump gimmick, and he kind of had a similar transition.
Oh, absolutely. And at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. And that caused some friction between us, actually. We're still good. We're great friends now. But at the time, you know, I came back from a neck injury. And you know, here he is, you know, was getting over at the time. I was more over than him when I got hurt. And then when I was gone, he was starting to get more over. Then when I came back and we joined, he really got over when I was kind of managing him because I couldn't wrestle yet. And I took credit, you know, when people would ask me, I took an honest opinion credit on, you know, being part of that. But he got a little bit upset about that. He's like, you know, you didn't make me. I said, I didn't say that, bro. I just feel like that together we're good. And I remember the night that we was in Minneapolis, and the microphone, he'd always do his little spiel, and then he'd give me the microphone to do a little spiel, and then we'd do his match, you know. And then all of a sudden, the microphone quit coming to me. Mm-hmm. And that was cool, you know, first couple of times. And I said, Scotty, you know, look, I'm trying to get over here, too. I said, I really don't need you. I said, and right now, you don't need me. I said, so what do you want to do? He goes, no, I want to stay together. I said, okay. So we go to the next Nitro. We go out there, same deal. He does his spiel. Do I hand me the microphone? So I went to Bischoff, and I said, look, you know, break it off. You know, I said, God, you know, told him the same thing. I said, you know, he's over, and I'm over. He don't need me. I don't need him. Let's just, you know, let us just be two separate people, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what was Eric's reaction to that? How did
he totally agreed. You know, he just said that he could see the tension a little bit brewing. And, well, he saw money as far as, you know, making the angle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because Eric was real big about taking things that were going on backstage and putting them on TV, which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Wayne only won one Academy Award, I think, because John Wayne always played John Wayne.
Yeah.
He was never a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, somebody that was sick. I mean, he played John Wayne. Well, same with wrestlers. I mean, the closer you can be to your own person, the closer and better it's going to come across on TV. So Eric was real big about always taking stuff that was really going on backstage and throwing it on TV, and it made for good TV.
You brought up the internet before, and about a lot of the things that are said about you. And I guess you're aware that, I mean, there is a lot of heat as far as when your name is mentioned. A lot of people have a lot of...
It's unbelievable.
What do you think are some of the things that you've heard that you think, that you've heard that are ridiculous, that really don't match the real you that you've read?
Well, to be honest, and this is so honest, and I don't care if people believe this or not, but even back when I first started, before there was any such thing as the internet or anything like that, there were things called dirt sheets. Uh-huh. And they were just little books that you would read, and they would talk about the wrestlers, and it was like a news weekly thing on wrestlers. I never read one in my life. Sorry about that. Okay. Not because I cared or didn't care, it's just because, I don't know, I think it back. It is because I didn't care. I just did what I was doing. And I wasn't going to read something and let somebody tell me what I was doing right or wrong or what their opinion was when they've never been in a ring or you know, never had been on TV or anything like that. So, and that's my same stand now. And it's weird. That was my stand then. That's my stand now. But it's the truth. I mean, these guys that are talking about me don't know me. I mean, this is the oldest, most stupid, corny saying, but I swear to goodness it's the truth. If I had a nickel for every time I go to one of these towns you see on my calendar, on my website, if I had a nickel for every time somebody said, man, you're a nice guy. Uh-huh. I mean, I can't believe it. And I don't read nothing on the internet. People will call and tell me. And I listen when they tell me, but I don't look it up or go to one website. I could care less. And I think if I had more time, I'm probably just out of curiosity would check it out. Mm-hmm. But I just don't have enough time. I mean, if you go to my website, therealbuff.com, if you go to that website, Match Calendar, I'm booked every Friday and Saturday for the next 3 months. And that takes a lot to do that because I stay in touch with the promoters. I always make sure I do phone-ins and you know, travel plans and all that. It's a full-time job, and not to mention, you know, my name's Buff, so that means you got to go to the gym and eat right and all that, and that's a full-time job, too. So I don't necessarily have the time to check up on it. Uh-huh. And if I did, there was one time that, against my will, everybody in my family, my agent, Nitro was booming. I was just getting drilled on the internet. Uh-huh. And they said, you got to say something. I said, no, don't sell it. Just let it go. You know, I've always been taught to let it go. You just don't, who cares? Let it go. On and on and on and on. They stayed on me about it. Finally, I said, let's do it. So we did it up. We did the camera on the computer. When I spoke, it automatically typed. For an hour, it was a battle with just dogging me to people that love me, to dogging me. I got nowhere in that hour. Just like if right now I tried to go on the internet and fix it, I would get absolutely nowhere. So it's just a matter of people just, you know, that are out there that have never met me, don't know me, never been in a wrestling in their life. You just got to take what you hear for granted, and they do, you know. It's just amazing how they take the internet like biblical, you know, and they shouldn't, because it's much different, and people just do not know.
What do you think has led to you kind of being that guy that a lot of people attack? What do you think led to it, and why do you think people kind of, you know, use your name to go after on the internet?
I think a combination. I think, first of all, I think of the spot I was in when the wrestling world caved in. I was the hot topic when the wrestling world caved in. So, you know, and keeping in mind, everybody and their sister, everywhere I go, still says, well, hey, man, why ain't you on WWE? Why ain't you on TNA? I got to answer that question about, I swear to God, 1,000 times a week. Mm-hmm. Either email or personal, I got to answer that question, you know. And that's not an easy question to answer because you're constantly having to hear something that you don't know.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I did know, but I don't know why. And so it's a tough question to answer, plus it hurts your feelings, you know. It reminds you of not being part of the team again, you know. But I think a combination of I was the hot topic in a negative way when the companies collided and one went away, a combination of that and, you know, I hate to say it, but it's called jealousy, you know. They call it heat in wrestling. Well, when I was growing up, they called it jealousy. But if you look it up in the dictionary, heat and jealousy should be the exact same answer.
Yeah, like you, I mean, not in every sense. You can't burn to death on jealousy. I'm only kidding. Let me ask you this, though, about the whole situation with everything that's going on right now. One of the main things that people did used to bring up, and I think you had answered it at one point, but then it was brought up again, was the whole issue that you had with Greg Helms. When you guys first came to WWF, you guys had that, I guess it was a fight back during training.
I want to make sure that, once again, we don't... Every time somebody asks me this and it comes up, he goes on his little website and types in something that I brought it up again. So I want to go online here.
Oh, I'm bringing it up.
Everybody knows that I was asked this. I didn't bring it up because I could care less about Helms.
All right.
I think he's got a good look. I'm glad he's made a career out of it. But as far as my world goes, he's never been in it and never will be. And that's just being honest. They, you know, it's just the way it rolls. It's no different than anything else in life. You know, it's just there may be 10,000 third basemen behind Chipper Jones of the Atlanta Braves that are just as good. But timing, along with life, you know, they'll never get that chance.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of those guys that really just really never had that chance at the right time, the right place. And in life, whether you're a wrestler or a policeman or a doctor, timing is everything. And, you know, so, you know, it's amazing that how this conflict gets brought up. But actually, you know, I don't think it had nothing to do with it. I really don't. I think the WWE situation was just simply, here's Buck Bagwell, 32, can wrestle, looks pretty good, can talk, and he's going to take some jobs away. And back to the jealousy heat word, where does that stand? Where does that go? And it goes in the fact of, you know, bringing that up. So it happened, and it was just a bad situation where he was running his mouth, smacked him, he hit me back, and it was tit for tat, and we let it go, you know.
Let me ask you, do you think it was kind of a case of you know, you had your reputation going in from WCW, and you kind of looked at it maybe... if there was an altercation before you came to WWE, it would be immediately kind of, you would be the eyes that they went to? Like, you would be the one that they looked at as probably someone who was involved as far as WWE is concerned? Do you think it was maybe a setup to make it look bad in the long run?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know what, no. I don't know, so I'm caught in the middle of that question, but I don't think let's break it down this way.
Okay.
I was at the WWF, because that's what it was at the time, for 2 weeks. Nobody, not even me, not even the internet rumors, the worst internet rumors you've ever heard of me, no way a Buff Bagwell can do that much damage in 2 weeks. Nothing. A guy that did 12 years, survived 5 bosses, that survived this business in one company for 11, and, you know, and been in the business 16, there's nothing that character could have done that bad. Nothing. So that, if you take that, it erases a whole lot of questions.
It
just kind of makes you go, wow, that's a pretty good point. I mean, what could he have possibly done in 2 weeks to really them not go, hey, man, look, stop doing that and let's do this? That was never mentioned at all, and they fired me in my hometown in Atlanta. So whether I hit him, hit Vince, you know, hit on his girlfriend, wife, there was no, hey, slap on the hand, quit doing that.
Uh-huh.
It was never one of those, and how much saw me twice.
Yeah. So it's kind of thing where it takes on a life.
That takes a lot of the questions kind of out of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been through, I mean, not just WWE, but you went in WCW, you had some crazy storylines that you worked as a part of, and you kind of worked to get over. I think the most famous one is probably your mom coming in to do the stint with the tag team titles. How did that how did that come about? How did it start, and how were you approached about it?
How that came about was we was in Columbia, Columbia, South Carolina was coming up on one of our shows, and we thought, well, yeah, so that's the same town I got paralyzed in. I said, okay, let's turn something out here, let's make it better. So me and Rick Steiner and Scotty got together, and we just kind of turned it out to make it better. And we thought, well, what about, you know, your mom, you know, wheeling you out and doing something with that? Well, she was part of the whole deal. And when that happened, the crowd went crazy for her. So, of course, you know, everything we threw out on TV, if it worked, we just rolled to the next week. Well, they kept rolling and rolling, and she got more popular. And, you know, everybody wants to see a mom, you know, hit somebody or slap somebody. And you know, back then, there wasn't any women on TV, really, you know. Mm-hmm. There's only a few. Now there's a bunch, but back then there was none. So it was just a different thing, and it worked. It made for good ratings and good TV, so that's how it all came about.
And were you surprised at the level that they took it to? I think she was one of the tag champions at one point.
Oh, gosh. Well, if you actually go back, she still is the tag champ, I think.
Oh, I don't even know. I haven't checked.
The way it all came down, I think she's still actually legally, if wrestling was a total shoot, legally she's one half of the World Tag Team Champions of the WCW.
That's crazy, man. That's absolutely crazy. You still bring that up?
That's unbelievable. That's just as crazy as David Arquette being the world champion.
Yeah, no, exactly, man. It's like kind of the same type of
same
situation. You know, WCW, man. How did you always stay so positive? That's one of the things about your character on TV. You had this manic energy that, I mean, I used to like watching. I like the hats, the airbrushed hats, and the whole nine yards that you did. But you always seemed to be loving what was going on, even when WCW was getting to that point where it was just like, some of the shows were just painful to watch. How did you always keep that positive kind of character going on TV?
I don't know, dude. I still do it now. I mean, when I wrestle independently, there'll be 300 people there, you know, 500 sometimes. Sometimes we see 2,000. But even when I see 300, I walk out. I'm the same person, top hat, in shape, do my dance, say hello to everybody. I've always been a people person. I was, you know, I give a credit to my mom on that of raising me properly. I've always just people that paid to see me, no different than somebody stopped me to ask for an autograph. I've never turned an autograph down in my life. Never will. I always give somebody a couple minutes of their time. I never cut nobody off. I just make sure that I realize that without that person asking a wrestling question or without that person that bought a ticket, I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
So I just always cared about that, you know?
Absolutely, man. Let me ask you this. One of the questions that we ask almost everybody that we have on the show, if you could go back, anybody in wrestling history, any promotion, any time frame, and wrestle somebody that you didn't get a chance to fight, either today or yesterday, who would it be and why?
I really don't have one, and I'm going to be honest with you, I just don't, because I wrestled so many guys for so long that, you know, I really don't have any regrets or any I wish I could have done this kind of thing. So I just don't have that kind of answer for you, because everything I did, I answered every problem I had to do, and I wrestled every person that I wanted to wrestle, and you know, my gimmick really wasn't wrestling. It was more, you know, show and entertainment. So I didn't really have, you know, that, you know, worker mentality of, you know, I would have had a chance to work Al Snow because he's a great worker. You know, my job, I was a good worker, but at the same time, I was an entertainer more than a worker. So I think I covered that, and I had a great time doing it. No regrets at all. I had a blast.
Let me switch it up a little bit then. From what you've seen today, from either working the independents or from what you see on TV, who do you think are some of the guys that you personally feel have potential and could probably be the future of the business?
Batista, I tell you, not a lot, and I have to think about it because I watch the show trying to look for that. I really do, and hoping I see somebody that can do it, and it ends up me turning the channel because I'm depressed. But there's really not a whole lot of guys I see that's got that. When I turn it on, go, you know what, that guy's got it, you know. But one of them is, I like the Master Lock guy.
His Masters, yeah.
I like him. I think he's got a chance of doing something, not just because of his body, but he can move with his body. And you know, he's a guy that I recognize a lot that can do something. But besides the guys that everybody already knows, like, you know, Rey Mysterios and you know, your Batistas, the guys that are already there and that are doing it, I really haven't came across guys, and that's why I still think I've got another run left in me, because there's just not. I mean, God bless him, the Rob Conway deal, you know. I've heard about that, like, I just puke, you know, about a guy that came out trying to look like me, and, you know, and all that, and now he's got blonde hair and shaves his goatee. I mean, you know, I was born, you know, but not yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just amazing that this guy come out trying to look like somebody, because all that does is make them think about me, not him.
Yeah.
So I feel kind of sorry for him. I wish he would have came out with a blonde hair first, because he looks good. He can wrestle. He can work. And, you know, now he's got the kind of jobbing the guy out, and I feel kind of sorry for him, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, have you ever talked to Rob or met him at all?
Nope, never have.
All right, so it's not even like a tribute. It's just kind of like just happened one day. You just turned it on.
Yeah. I just remember somebody going, hey, man, you got to check out the show. This guy's on there looking like you and this and that. And, I turned it on. I was like, you know, God bless him. You know, I mean, just either my maturity or my age or whatever you want to call it. I never was mad. I was like, man, dang, come on, bro. You know, I mean, that's like dyeing your hair blonde and wearing the metal headgear and saying, you know, this goes all my freaks out there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's like Scotty Steiner. You just don't want to be like anybody, and that's the object of this business. I mean, who's ever wore top hat in this business? Nobody. Was it a stupid idea to everybody when I showed them? Yeah. Did it work? Yes. But that's the nature, and what makes this business so great is being different and coming up with something that nobody's ever seen before, and not to come out and do something that somebody's already done, you know?
No, I hear you, man. Before I let you go, any words to your fans out there who have supported you since the early 90s, man?
Just don't believe the internet, man. Just realize that I still do this for a living, and I do it full time. And anybody that's been able to survive without clocking in to another job and do this independently for, you know, now it's been almost 6 years, obviously has done something right. Stay busy and get repeat business and stay busy as I am in the independent world. So just don't believe everything here on the websites and these internets. Just believe that for some reason I'm staying busy, and for some reason TNA called, and for some reason, you know, I'm still buff and I'm still the stuff.
And I was going to ask you to give us one of those right before we let you go, right before we end the interview. Just give us one buff, I'm the stuff, and the famous catchphrase.
Well, let's just say I'm buff, I'm the stuff, and the girls just can't get enough.
Awesome. Thanks, buff, man. Great having you on, bro.
All right, man.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
Buff Daddy Bagwell joining us here on Radio Free Insanity. Awesome. Really great to have him on. We've wanted to have Buff Bagwell on a really long time. I mean, it's kind of guess you would expect to be on the show, so we're glad to have him on. Also, you know, I'll say this personally, too. Having him on the air, he's a nice guy. I know it takes a lot of heat, and I can't speak for any of the stories about him, and I wasn't there for the fight with Helms, and I don't know what he says to other people. I mean, you could tell some of the things he says, very strong in his opinions, but as far as dealing with him myself, he was a really nice guy. So take that for what you will. Cool guy to me. And you can form your own opinion. But yeah, guys, there's going to be plenty more guests coming up. In fact, we have a lot of people lined up as we get closer to the book's release within 2 weeks. We've been booking a lot of people. So we have a lot of people set up to be on the show. So the guests are going to keep coming. We have a lot of good names lined up. You guys will be very excited. Definitely check that out. And while you're at it, pick up World Wrestling Insanity, the book. It's going to be available. Pre-order it now. You'll be the first one on your block to get it. And if you want to be nice, you can buy one for everyone on the block. In fact, do that. Buy one for everyone on your block. That'd be the nicest thing you could do for me. But yeah, no, I think you guys will like it. Check it out. You will enjoy it. World Wrestling Insanity, the book. I will be back next week with some more Radio Free Insanity. Check us out on the MySpace page. Check out the main page. Check it all out. And we'll be having a lot of fun. This is James Gumman. Until next time, we meet up saying be well. Thanks for listening, and thank you for sharing our insanity. Be well.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.